grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's message is both from both of our readings tonight. Don't worry, it's not a 10-page sermon. Even though the readings were long, the sermon is not. Dear friends in Christ, from Ash Wednesday until now, we've been making our Lenten journey. From the sackcloth and ashes of that Ash Wednesday, we have now come to the cross. It's a tragic journey, a journey that's filled with foreboding and with sorrow, a journey that leaves us emotionally drained. Because just like Jesus, we knew all along where this journey was going and where it would end. For us who live in this New Testament era, we knew that we would come to this day, this Good Friday. We knew that we would come to the cross. We've actually made this journey before. Every year, we walk with our Lord to Calvary, step by agonizing step. There's no spring in our step, and we wonder every year why in the world this day is called good. Now, to understand and to give some meaning to our journey, we kind of have to return to Old Testament times. Long before Jesus became flesh, and even long before the words of our Old Testament text were actually written and spoken, the journey began. The journey began in the days of Moses and in the wilderness wanderings of the people of Israel. You see, it was there that God actually promised to dwell with his people. And it's there that he gave Moses instructions for building the tabernacle. There, in the tabernacle, in the very deepest and the most holy part of the tabernacle, where the Ark of the Covenant was at, where the mercy seat sat, in that most holy place, God said, and he did, he made his throne room here on earth so that he would truly be present with his people. But God's presence, well, it has some drawbacks. It's got some difficulties. How could the unholy, the sinful people of Israel dwell in the actual presence of the Holy One of Israel? How could the unholy dwell with the holy? How can man ever be face to face with God? How could the unworthy be in the presence of the righteous one? And to add terror to all of that, fire would come out from the altar, from the mercy seat, and consume the sacrifices. And if you brought the wrong sacrifice, as Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered unholy fire, fire that was from the wrong place, and the fire from the presence of God came out and consumed them. How could anyone stand in the presence of God, in the presence of the Holy One? Well, the people were terrified, and for good reason. But God, of course, who wants to dwell with his people, who wants to be with him, he actually established a way for the holy to dwell among the unholy. The Lord instituted Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, if you're not familiar with the Day of Atonement, it's really kind of amazing. One day of the year, the high priest was to go into that most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat were. One day of the year, the high priest would take the blood of a goat behind the curtain, place it on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the whole people of God. And so the people of God were then cleansed of their sin, and they could dwell with God without fear. However, on the Day of Atonement, there were two goats. One goat was sacrificed, the blood poured out on the mercy seat. The other goat was the sin bearer. The other goat is what we would know as the scapegoat. That's what we call the scapegoat today. The other goat was the one that would bear the sins of the people. God actually instructed Moses to have the high priest place his hands on the head of that other goat, the live goat, and to transfer the sins of the people of Israel to that goat. And then the high priest was to have the goat sent out, to led out into the wilderness, back to Azazel. In other words, Satan. Back to Satan, the father of sin. All of the people, all of the sins of all of the people were then carried away by that sin bearer, by the scapegoat. Two goats. One was the sacrifice to wash away the sins of the people with its blood, and the other, which actually bore the sins of the people back to Satan. So in our journey to the cross, we learn that Jesus is actually the fulfillment of both of those goats. Both of them. You see, he is both the sacrifice and the sin bearer. Isaiah tells us that surely he has borne our sins and carried our sorrows. The suffering servant is the sin bearer. He who knew no sin became sin for us, as he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. I don't know if you remember, but when we began our series here, we talked about Jesus in his baptism taking up all of the sins and then carrying them out into the wilderness, back to Satan where he is tempted, right? He did battle with this evil Azazel in the wilderness, but that was really only the beginning of all of his sin bearing, the beginning of his sin bearing journey. Christ's journey as our sin bearer actually continued throughout his earthly journey until today, on Good Friday. Because his earthly journey now comes to the cross. Christ actually carried our sins to Calvary, and it's here on the cross that we see him lifted up. And when we look upon that tree, what do we see? Well, we should see our sin. We should see all of the sins that we have carried in our bodies and in our minds, in our hearts, all of those sins, because he has actually carried them up to the top of this hill. All of those sins. We should see the one who became our sin and now hangs naked, even as our shame is uncovered. We should see our sin carried by our sin bearer, carried by our scapegoat. But we also see that he's the other goat as well. See, we also see the sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice, the sacrificial goat, who is stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted for us. He's the one whose blood is shed for you. He's the one whose blood is shed for the forgiveness of your sin and mine. As Isaiah says, despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Isaiah shows us both goats. Isaiah shows us Jesus. And so the journey that began in the wilderness with the children of Israel, the journey that was more clearly defined by the Day of Atonement and the two goats, that journey is fulfilled in Christ Jesus, because he is the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement. In fact, Jesus is the atonement. Our Lenten journey has brought us to Jesus, just like we knew it would. And even now, as we look upon the cross, we see the two goats of the Day of Atonement fulfilled. And they're fulfilled in the one Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, the sin bearer is raised high and lifted up on the tree. The blood of the sacrifice is sprinkled upon the nations. Christ Jesus pours out his blood to atone for the sins of all mankind. The Lamb that's without blemish and spot cleanses us from every spot and stain. It's our sin that brought the precious Lamb of God to the cross, because where else could our sin bearer go? It's our guilt, our shame that Christ reveals upon the tree of the cross, and then he atones. He pays the price, and we are redeemed. Again, as Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus bore that sin. He shed his blood, and he declared, "It is finished." And when our Lord and Savior hung his head in death, an amazing thing happened. The sky went dark. The earth shook. The rocks split. And then the curtain of the temple, that barrier to the very most holy place, the very presence of God, tears in two from top to bottom. The most holy place is revealed. Jesus, the sin bearer and the sacrifice, took his very own blood through the curtain into that most holy place and poured it on the mercy seat. Indeed, it is finished. And we are atoned for. The greatest and the last high priest has gone into that most holy place, not with the blood of a goat, but with his own blood. And this blood cleanses and brings atonement to the world. One sacrifice that ends all sacrifices. His blood poured out for us. It is finished. The journey that began so long ago has come to this place, and it is finished. The Lamb of God, the sin bearer, and the sacrifice fulfills and gives meaning to the journey as we have traveled with him from our exile in the wilderness all the way to the foot of his cross, looking at him, bearing our sin, sacrificing for us. And now the instrument of torture and death has become a life-giving tree. His death, his blood, atones for his people. And so, yes, brothers and sisters in Christ, we can on this day, on this Friday, say that it is absolutely good. In his name, amen.